Once again, we'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Once again, we'll look at verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. These words manifest the attitude and the outlook of Paul concerning both life and death. Again, he's in a Roman prison. He's awaiting trial before Caesar. As he writes verse 21, he does not know what the outcome will be, whether he'll be released and live, or whether he'll be put to death. By the time you get to verse 25, it seems that the Lord has assured him that he will live. One thing we need to keep in mind, I think sometimes people, when they look at the epistles, they get the idea that Paul or whoever is writing the epistle just sat down and wrote it all at one time, but that's not necessarily the case. There may have been days between verse 21 and the next verse. We don't know. But it seems by the time we get to verse 25, he's pretty confident that the Lord is going to allow him to live. But when he wrote verse 21, he's ready for either, whether it be life or death. And we must be ready for both. Many of God's people talk about being ready for death, but the truth is they're not even ready for life. They're not ready to live the life. We need to be ready to live. We need to be ready to die. We see that it's fine with him either way. In verse 23, he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Lost man has no desire to depart this life. There is a part of a child of God that has a desire to depart. And he then notice what he says, which is far better. Which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, to continue living, is more needful for you. So his concern was not whether he lived or whether he died. That wasn't his concern. And it shouldn't be ours either. His concern was that Christ would be magnified. If he lived, that Christ would be magnified in his life. If he died, that Christ would be magnified. Again, notice verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. In our text, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is, if I live, my life will continue to be about Christ. And if I die, I win, I gain. He's telling these Philippians, if I continue to live, I intend for my life to be all about Christ. And if I die, I will profit from that. I will be the beneficiary of that. It will be to my advantage. I will enjoy the increase that is involved when a child of God dies. Paul is saying, because of Christ, it's good for me either way. And how true. Because of Christ, because the Lord saved our souls, it's good for us either way. Whether we live or whether we die. He's saying, because of Christ, I'm blessed either way. I'm blessed with life, and I'm blessed in death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Again, these are not the words of someone who is discouraged, not the words of someone who is defeated. It's not the words of someone living in gloom or the dreariness of prison. Not the words of someone who's indifferent about life, who takes life very seriously. For me to live is Christ. He's not indifferent. This is the words of a man who has great resolve, a man of faith and victory. It's one who, again, Christ has encompassed his life, his death, and his after death. So this morning we preached on a life of gain. For me to live is Christ. No better life to live. It's a life that each one of us that are saved are called to live. Again, for me to live is. What follows that, if it's not Christ, we're wasting our life. So tonight we want to speak on a death of gain. We're blessed. Salvation makes extraordinary living possible. Salvation also makes death wonderful. Again, we're blessed either way. Either way. But first of all, do consider that salvation makes extraordinary living possible. For most of us here, there has been a time in our lives when God, in love and grace, came to where we were and saved our soul. And since that day, however long it has been, He has left us here to live life for Him. He has left us here to grow in grace. He has left us here to be more and more conformed to Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful life. I never thought of any of those things before salvation. I didn't know what growth in grace was, nor did I care. Certainly was not interested in conformity to Christ. But since the day the Lord saved our soul, He's given us the blessed privilege of living a wonderful and extraordinary life. And Paul speaks of this, for me to live is Christ. We have the privilege of living for the one who brought us from the depths of spiritual death and defilement. The privilege of living for the one who brought us out of the guilt and the condemnation. Brought us out of the alienation and the darkness and the helplessness. It is our blessed privilege to live for the one who redeemed us and took us off the broad road that leads to destruction and cleansed us and forgave us and put us into the family of God. It's our privilege to live for Him. Every child of God has something to live for, and it's Christ. Saved by the grace of God. It is our privilege to live life with the Savior of our souls as the priority of life, as the emphasis of our life, as the focal point of our life. It is our privilege to be able to live a life with His throne and His power established in our hearts. And we have the privilege of living in the light of His ownership and His authority. Those outside of Christ, they don't live that life, nor can they. But we have been blessed to live a very special life. It's our privilege to live life as a model of Christ's character, as a magnifier of His glory. It is our privilege to live with regard to Christ, to live in behalf of Christ, to live defined and shaped by Christ, to live in allegiance to Christ. It is our privilege to live life with Christ as our direction and purpose of life. The world has no direction, have no real purpose in living their life. Therefore, their lives are chaotic and dysfunctional. But God saved our soul and He's given us a life, a wonderful life. Saved by the amazing grace of God, our lives can be rooted in Christ. And you think about the unsaved. What are their lives rooted to? All sorts of things. None of them good. But our lives are rooted in Christ. And our lives can be about what Christ has done, and again, for Him. It is our privilege to live in the enjoyment of the blessings of salvation. The lost man doesn't know the blessings of salvation, so he cannot possibly live in the enjoyment of those blessings. Not only did God save our soul, but He's enabled us to live in the enjoyment of that salvation. He didn't save us and then leave us here to live a life of misery. He saved us, left us here to enjoy the blessings of salvation, to live in the reality of His love. We can live that life. Living in the reality of His love, His care, His grace, His mercy. Those things are very real to us. And it's our privilege to live in the reality of that. It's our privilege to live in the reality of the goodness of God. And the very person of Jesus Christ. Saved by the grace of God, it's our privilege to live life in fellowship with God, walking with God, walking in the light of His presence, having daily communion with the Lord, talking to God, God talking to us. That's the life that we can live. That's a wonderful life. That's an extraordinary life. And that's not only are we saved, headed for heaven, but we can enjoy God all the way there. We don't have to wait to heaven to enjoy God. We don't have to wait to heaven to enjoy the blessings of God. Those are for us even now. We can live lives of peace. Enjoy. I'm not talking about peace with the world and the kind of peace that the world is seeking. But I'm talking about a peace that only God gives. The peace that passeth understanding. And that joy of knowing the Lord. You see, the lives of the masses are defined by the policies of the world. Their lives are defined by the philosophies and the reasonings of the world. Their lives are defined by the manners of the world and the fashion of the world and the entertainment of the world and the pursuits of the world. And again, the world is antichrist. And it's sinking into the abyss of the deceptions and the perversions of humanism. And man outside of Christ, his life is shaped by these things. But for you and I, life can be extraordinary. We can live above these things. The world lives lives in the circles, marked by defeat, in bondage, marked by misery and distress and defeat. Again, look at the world. Look at the people of the world. There's not much happiness there. Very little joy. People are miserable. But you and I have been saved. And we can live above all of those things. It is our privilege to live above what is ordinary today. And who in the world would want their life defined by the ordinary today if it's lost their mind? There's nothing there. It's our blessed privilege to live spiritually abundant and flourishing lives. Ascending spiritually, gaining in altitude spiritually. Living victorious lives. It is our privilege to live lives that are stimulated by God. Lives that are thrilling. What a life is ours to live. What a life. God has saved our soul and has given us a wonderful, wonderful life. We are blessed beyond measure. I mean, it would be a blessing if God just saved us and we just lived like the world and then went to heaven. We'd still be blessed. But we have much more than that. We don't have to live like the world. We have a wonderful life. People talk, and sadly, many of God's people get caught up in this attitude. How miserable life is. I enjoy living. I think life is great. I didn't think that when I was lost. But life is great. Life is a wonderful gift. And what a privilege to live life for him. So Paul realizes that life is blessed, but he also realizes there's something better. That's how blessed we are. God has blessed us with a wonderful life, and it's only going to get better. For the lost sinner, this is as good as it gets. It's as good as it gets. And as I've said many times, my worst day is better than a lost sinner's best day. And that's true. I don't always look at it that way, but it's true. Salvation makes death wonderful. Makes death wonderful. We used to sing a song in Streamwood. It was in the Berea Baptist hymnal. How blessed to die. And if you, when you sing that song, you can almost tell who's unsaved because they're shocked by that song. Blessed to die. It's a blessed thing for a child of God to die. For me to live as Christ and to die is gain. No lost sinner can say that. There is no gain in a lost sinner's death. None. Everything is loss. No gain at all. But for a child of God, there's no loss. All is gain. All is gain. And that's why the saved will say of their loved ones, I miss them. I miss them terribly. But I wouldn't want them back for a second. Unsaved people understand that, or saved people understand that, because they know the gain of death. To die is gain. That is, to die is profit. Well, God has given us a profitable life as a child of God on this earth. But when death comes, we'll be profited even more. We're blessed. For the saved by grace, to die is advantage. That's what gain means. It means it's our advantage. God has given us a very advantageous life to live on this earth. And at the end of that life, I'll even be more advantaged. What a blessing. Oh, how God has blessed us. For the saved by grace, to die is beneficial. And God has given us a beneficial life to live upon this earth. But when death comes, we'll be benefited even more. To die is to increase for the child of God. And ours is a life of increase. We ought to be increasing spiritually every day. But when death comes, the increase will be even greater. Verse 23, Paul said, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He doesn't just say, which is better. It is far better. In other words, it's beyond compare. It's so much better, you can't. There's not a word for it. It is far better. God has given us a blessed life on this earth. A life, an extraordinary life, but we're so blessed that we have something even better. And that comes at death. And everything in our life is moving toward the end of earthly life. Earthly life will end in one of two ways for the child of God. Either by death or by the return of Jesus Christ. But either way, we gain. Either way, it is better for us. To the unsaved individual, death is a source of discouragement. Lost people do not like to talk about death. Lost people get very, very uncomfortable talking about death. They don't want to think about death. Again, as we've said before, they can't even bring themselves to say the word. If something happens to me, what do you mean by that? Well, you know what they mean. But they can't even bring themselves to say, when I die, if something happens to me. But for the child of God, death is not a discouragement. The subject of death is not a downer. Why? Because to die is gain. And life is wonderful already. But it's going to get better. For the child of God, we're blessed. We're blessed with the life that God has given us. And we're blessed for what is beyond death. So to die is gain. It's the beginning of something even greater than the wonderful life that God has already allowed us to live. You and I that are saved, we enjoy so much of life that the unsaved cannot enjoy. We have experiences that the unsaved cannot experience. We have an amazing life upon earth. But to die is gain. To die is gain. What do we gain? Well, we don't have the time, nor do we have the knowledge of everything that we will gain. We gain heaven. When we die, there is the gain of heaven and everything associated with it, which is a subject far greater than any one of us. Heaven, for the saved by grace, is a Jesus-prepared place for us. A Jesus-prepared place for us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Matthew 25, verse 34. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When we die, we leave behind earthly life for a place prepared especially for us by Christ. Heaven is not merely air, nor is it merely a state of being. It is a state of being, but it's more than that. Heaven is not a fable. It's not a dream. It's not the product of human imagination. But it is a specifically and specially prepared place for a specific and special people. Contrary to the opinion of the world, not everyone goes to heaven. Only those who know Christ. It is the place of our inheritance. The place of our inheritance through Christ. Peter referred to it in 1 Peter 1, verse 14, as an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you. And where is it reserved? In heaven. It's a place, a special place. It is a place beyond imagination. It is a place incomparable. We must always remember that. There is nothing on this earth that can compare to heaven. So many try to make heaven like earth. Don't do that. Why would you ruin it? Why would you bring it down to earthly level? Will we be married? And all kinds of questions. People want to take a little bit of earth with them to heaven.
that would ruin it. It's incomparable. Let us not be guilty of comparing it to earth or bringing earth to heaven. The child of God enters heaven at death. And that means they are gone from earthly life. That's a blessing. As good as this earthly life is for you and I, the child of God, to be gone from it will even be better. Because life on earth is lived in mortal, decaying bodies of flesh. And these bodies are subject to difficulties, trials, and sorrows. There are persecutions, there are afflictions, there are sicknesses, there are diseases. But death removes us from all of these. I'm talking about for the child of God. These are forever gone in heaven. Forever gone. Our earthly lives are subject to adversity and strife and opposition, temptations, surrounded by filth, surrounded by defilement, by wickedness, by ungodliness. But these are forever gone in heaven. We lose nothing of value. Everywhere we turn in earthly lives, there's enmity. There's rebellion against God. All sorts of uncleanness and idolatry and humanistic philosophies. Everywhere we turn, we must contend with the workings of Satan. And it gets tiring. Everywhere we turn, you have to contend with temptations and the wiles and the traps and the deceptions. But for the saved by grace, to die is gain. We leave behind the earth and everything associated with it. And we gain on every level. On every level. Don't ever say of a child of God, oh, they sure would like to be here for this. No, they wouldn't. Don't be so foolish. That borders blasphemy. What a foolish statement. Oh, too bad brother so-and-so couldn't see this. Do you realize where brother or sister so-and-so is? Be a horrible thing if they had to come back and experience what we think is so marvelous here. And it is marvelous here, but there's something better. For the saved by grace, again, we have the privilege of living an extraordinary life upon earth. But when we die, we gain. It gets even more extraordinary. We gain His presence. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And you and I that are saved, we know how wonderful it is here in this life to experience the presence of the Lord. But we do not, nor are we able, to experience His full presence in this life. We've had wonderful blessings of the presence of God in our lives. What wonderful times. But we haven't even come close to experiencing the full presence of God. But to die, we've experienced His full presence. Here, we see Him by faith. And our faith many times is weak. But when we die, we gain. We gain seeing Him with perfect and complete sight. Can't even imagine what that will be like. And we'll do that for all eternity. In His presence, beholding Him in all of His glory. Nothing to block our vision. Nothing to hinder our sight of Christ. Uninterrupted beholding of Christ. To die is gain. Saved by grace, we have the privilege of living a blessed life upon earth. But again, to die is gain. Here on earth, we enjoy the blessings of salvation. We can enjoy the person of God. But we will gain in the enjoyment of the Lord. Here, there's always things getting in the way. We get in our own way of the full enjoyment of Christ. But to die is gain. And there will be full and complete enjoyment of the Lord and of the beauties and the realities of heaven. Full and complete joy. In this life, we have, you and I that are saved, we have the privilege of knowing the Lord. What a wonderful privilege that is. What a wonderful life it is to know the Lord. To be able to open the Scriptures. And God show us truths. And God give us knowledge. What a wonderful life. But it gets better. We will gain in knowledge. We'll gain in knowledge. We'll know as we're known. I just know how excited it is when the Lord shows me a truth. That's wonderful. And can you imagine the knowledge that we'll have in heaven? There's the gain of fellowship. We have the wonderful life of being able to live in fellowship with God in this life. But when we die, it gets better. We're blessed. We're blessed. Then there's the gain of worship. In earthly life, you and I that are saved, we have desires to worship God. And there have been some wonderful times of worship. But I'm very, very aware, almost to the point where it becomes discouraging, have to be careful. We never worship like we ought. Never. I've never come close to worshiping God like I ought to. There's always hindrances, whether it be my own thoughts or whatever. There's always hindrances to the worship of God. We never fully see and realize and feel what we ought to see and realize and feel. And we have seen wonderful things, and we have felt wonderful things, and realized wonderful things, and it gives us joy. But we've never fully seen or realized or felt what we ought to. But in heaven, can you imagine fully realizing His glory, His majesty, His love. His love. We enjoy immensely what God shows us today of His love. And it's wonderful. But when we die, we will fully realize His love, His grace, His mercy. I love studying the grace and mercy of God. And you do as well. But we've never fully realized it. But when we die, the kindness of God. We strive to picture in our minds what the Lord has done for us in saving our souls. But imagine fully realizing what He's done for us. It's no wonder over and over in the book of Revelation you see the saints worshiping God. We gain worship at death. To die is gain. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says it's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Far more exceeding. In other words, you can't explain it. It's so wonderful, it's so great. You just can't explain it. No one in heaven is missing anything. And how blessed we are. God saved our soul. However many years we've been saved, God has given us the privilege to live a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life. But He's given us an even more glorious future in heaven. That's blessed. Heaven is our home. And the very thought of heaven should kindle a desire in us and like a magnet draw us. The thought, the hope, the fact of heaven ought to thrill our soul. It ought to loose our moorings to this earth. Why? Why would a child of God want to become more attached to this world? Why would a child of God put their stakes in deeper into the earth? Why would they have even a desire to do that? Heaven ought to thrill our soul. But heaven is not only to be realized as home when we get there, but all along the way, as we journey through this life, we need to have our eyes upon heaven. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 tells us that truth. So that we would be more detached from earth. More detached from earth and more attached to heaven. And may we say with Paul, with conviction, for me to live is Christ. That's what I'm going to live for. May have failed miserably up to this point. How foolish is it to continue that way? Need to resolve from this day forward for me to live is Christ. And that's a wonderful life. No matter what happens, that's the highest life you can live on earth. We have been blessed with the highest life that a man can live upon earth. That's our life to live. And then we have the highest life in eternity. Forever with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For the reality of that to hit us, the life that we have, And what we gain in death, we are blessed. We are blessed of the Lord. Blessed. The unsaved sinner will do everything in their power, though they have not, though they do not have the power they think they do. They will do everything in their power to stay in this life as long, to hold on, to hold on. To their last breath, they holding on to this earth. But the death of a child of God is different. They're not holding on to the earth, they're reaching forth for something even greater. Oh, how blessed we are. I don't know how many, sat by the bedside of many children of God when they've gone home to be with the Lord. And I have thought and thought and thought of the battles that go on in that life at that moment. I think of the joys that we don't know until we're there. But oh, we've been blessed. I can look forward to tomorrow because life is wonderful. And I can look forward to tomorrow or tonight. And if I die, that'll be wonderful too. Either way, we're blessed. We're blessed of the Lord. Live for Him. We need to live for the one who's blessed us so abundantly. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.